In this episode, I want to talk with you about one of the most important, like top three topics in the entire business world. Any marketer, salesperson, entrepreneur could use it, and this topic is customer service.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right. God, man, I've just been having a really great couple of days. I got huge news that I can't reveal to you yet, but it's such big news. It literally made me cry for a couple of days out of joy. That'll be coming up in another episode soon. How do you like them apples for a cliffhanger, right? And, let's see. Today I'm training Tony Robbins' sales team on icebreaking. I should do a separate episode on just icebreaking. How to use the power of video to open up a door, develop a relationship, command their attention, add massive value, move them through the buyer's journey. What do you say? I'll give that in a couple of episodes, but I worked on it over the weekend, just started cranking away. I actually found out about 24 or 48 hours ago that they're going to need a little help on this one topic, and boom, I love it. So let's do that. That'll be fun coming up soon. But can we talk about customer service? It happens to be one of the top three topics in business, but it's not discussed enough. And I don't think a lot of businesses understand where to get started. So I want to do you a huge favor by having one of the world's leading experts in customer service, Shep Hyken, is going to be joining us on the Toddcast. Shep was in the audience on a Zoom call recently where you might have heard from a past episode. I had my naked Zoom mistake. And if you didn't hear that, I explained it in a past episode, and well, that's about as humiliating as life gets. And so, well, Shep was in that audience. He's going to be joining us. We're not going to be talking about that in the interview. Please, God, no. But we are going to talk about customer service and how to use it in your business. In fact, what I've really noticed is if I can set the right expectations and be a great communicator so my clients don't have confusion. You know, confusion is one of those areas where people get frustrated when they're doing business with you. I mean, just think about being a guest at a table in a restaurant and your food's running late. What you've got inside of you is confusion, right? You don't have clarity. So the best people that manage their clients or their guests, whatever industry, are the ones that identify that and then instantly inject clarity and provide greater level of customer service and hold the client's hand through the process. And if you can do that and start to understand where people get confused through the process and how they start to get irritated and frustrated, if you can jump into those moments, inject some of your humanity, or if you screw up, kneel down next to them, lay your cards on the table, explain what happened. People aren't upset about what happened. They're upset about the hiding of the problem. I mean, think about politics. This happens all the time in our lives. We're not really upset about the crime. We're upset about the cover-up. And the same is true in business. And if you can identify those kind of moments where you can be transparent and relatable, where you can not only admit what happened, but demonstrate the solution that's in action right now, people will stay with you forever. And if you can be that company that each one of your employees can correct a problem at the moment it happens, instead of 3 or 6 months later where it's turned into something much larger, then your customer service part of your team, which should be everybody, not one department, Shep will touch on that, but your customer service responsibilities that everybody who's interacting with clients have to be aware of can help your company retain your customers and grow that customer base forever, because a 5% increase, just a 5% increase in your retention of existing customers can grow your revenue by 75%. It's the small hinges in business that swing the biggest doors. And so let's talk with Shep Hyken. All right. You know, one of my favorite topics that any business can use to take their business to the next level, to retain existing customers, is to delight their customers beyond belief and keep them in their universe and grow their business. And so who better than to talk with than a customer service experience expert, than Hall of Fame speaker, New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author, Shep Hyken. Shep, welcome to the Toddcast.
I'm here, excited, the Toddcast. I love it. I love it.
Shep, always fun to spend time with you. You drop knowledge bombs all the time. Can we talk about the marketing aspects of customer service? You know, since I was a Morton's Steakhouse waiter in college, I've always felt like amazing customer service experience is like the best marketing opportunity a company could have. Am I wrong, Shep?
No, you're absolutely right. Everything you say is perfectly right. No, that's not true. Well, definitely mostly true. But no, it's Morton's. Let's talk about Morton's for a moment. Tom Baldwin was the CEO. I don't know if he was during the time you were there. He was the CFO, the CEO, the COO. He actually rode the wave of taking Morton's public and then back private again. This guy's brilliant. And currently he's running a number of other restaurant concepts. Many people familiar with Benihana's. He's now the CEO, Benihana's, and some other concepts. But what he said was, as I was prepping for my speech, I was hired to do a speech for the managers. And by the way, I don't know if you remember, the managers got to go to some pretty exotic places.
They sure did.
And so I went to Nevis to present to their managers. Anyway, what he said was, you won't see us advertising in the traditional way of radio, TV, news, print, whatever. No, what we do is we've got the most incredible marketing department. They're people exactly like Todd Hartley, the guys on the front line, serving, bussing, the cooks that are back there making the perfect food, creating an experience so strong that people will go out and talk about it. Not just come back, but talk about it to everyone else. That's the best marketing strategy that Morton's has. And really, if you look at most businesses to adopt that type of philosophy, deliver the experience. You know, my walk-on music for some of my speeches, when people say, do you have any walk-on music, anything you want us to play? Yeah, let's play Bonnie Raitt. Let's give them something to talk about, okay? And let's kick it off at the chorus when she sings. Let's give them something, because that's what we're trying to do.
All right, now here's the deal, though. I'm willing to admit that I think a lot of businesses don't even know where to get started with customer service. And someone like me who started first in customer service, I feel like I've got light years ahead just because of the massive repetitions, table side, one person to the next. But do you agree? Like, a lot of companies don't even think about customer service, maybe because their leadership never had that experience in their life.
Well, I think they understand what customer service is. They haven't formalized it. And the ones that I think struggle with it the most are smaller businesses that don't realize you don't need a customer service department. You need a customer service philosophy. And that means that everybody from the person who started the company, if it's a large enterprise, CEO to the most recently hired, needs to understand where they fit in. We'll talk about the journey of a customer. And if you look at the customer at the top line, you think, well, only the people who deal with the customer at the top line or front line need to understand what great service is. No, but if you go vertical in each one of these interactions that the customer has, you start to see all the different departments and the different people that influence the experience that the customer is going to have. So everybody needs to understand where they are. The guy in the warehouse who never sees the customer, if that person, he or she, doesn't pack the product properly and it shows up to the customer's doorstep or their business broken on the inside, then basically what's happened is, you know, that warehouse employee let the customer down. Never sees the customer, never, but they have such impact. So everybody needs to recognize where they fall into the opportunity of either serving somebody internally or where they impact the outside journey. Once we do that, we need to train them to the right terminology to understand what our philosophy is. And again, you don't have to go crazy with this training, but it's not something you do at the onboarding process and never think about it again. Some of it's at the onboarding process, and every once in a while, you're putting it back in front of people. We have clients that every single week have meetings that spend 3 to 7 minutes on the topic of customer service experience as part of their weekly meeting with their teams. The Ritz-Carlton, who I love to talk about them. I've read about them. I've written about them. I've interviewed Horst Schultz, their first president and co-founder. These guys figured it out. They have 24 gold standards that drive the vision of customer experience in their world. And those 24 gold standards, every day, one at the beginning of every shift, one of those gold standards is talked about for a few minutes before everybody goes to do whatever job they have, be it housekeeping, maintenance, front desk, banquets. It doesn't matter. Everybody hears it. And here's what's cool, Todd. I'm in St. Louis. You're in Arizona, right?
Scottsdale, yeah.
Scottsdale, yes. I don't know if there's there was a Ritz in that area, yes, but they're building another one
right now in Paradise Valley, not far from
yes. me. So when those employees meet and talk about their gold standard, it's the same one that's they're talking about in St. Louis, the same one they're talking about in Abu Dhabi, because the consistency, and it's every day. So there's 24. So, well, people don't work every day. That's fine. So they take a couple days off. They'll catch it next month and the month after that. And by the end of the year, they will have heard the same message probably close to 10 times. Yeah. And then it just goes on and on and on, and it becomes ingrained in them and the culture, and that's what it's all about. By the way, that service vision that the Ritz has is one sentence long. It's actually 9 words. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen, 9 words. And you can come up with a one sentence version of your vision. This is different than your vision and value statement for your company. This is something that's very simple that when you throw it out there, every customer understands, or every employee understands. Maybe the customers hear about it or not, doesn't matter. It's internal. Ours in our office is 3 words: always be amazing. 3 words. We want to be amazing for our clients, and we want to teach our clients to be amazing for their clients, guests, customers, whatever. That's what we do. And we also try to be amazing internally. And I remember having an issue with one of my employees, and we sat down together and I said, what's our mantra? And that's what I call it, the mantra. It's the vision. Here at Shepherd Presentation, she said to always be amazing. And this was a chronically late person. I said, you're my assistant. Do you think showing up late every day, even after I've talked to you about it for like a week straight, is amazing behavior? And she said, no, it's not. But she knew always be amazing was her mantra. I didn't have to remind her. She knew it. It's so easy. You can't forget it.
But it's ritualizing excellence and teaching it. You know, when I was at the Hyatt at Gainey Ranch.
Great place.
Property. And they always took the Hyatt standards to a different level. By the way, Shep, my wife worked for the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey. She's worked for the Fairmont properties and is now with the Four Seasons. So between the two of us, customer service is ingrained in
our
dining conversation. And so when I was at the Hyatt at Gainey Ranch and I was in college, I remember waiting there and they would always teach you to identify the moment of truth where you can inject something extra memorable into that guest experience. And I had a gentleman and his wife that were in, and it was their first vacation in 4 years. They were going to a concert that night. They were super fired up. Later on that evening, a monsoon swept through Scottsdale. A monsoon's a tropical storm, and the concert got canceled. And I saw the husband walking back up to the room early, and I talked to them in the lobby and how disappointed they were. So I called room service, and room service sent them a fruit platter and champagne, because at the Hyatt at Gainey Ranch, everybody who had the green light to spend some money to delight somebody beyond belief. The next morning, that man showed up at brunch just to thank me for the concert they were able to create in their room, because they had the champagne and they had the fruit and that's all they needed. And he said to me, we don't go away enough. That's what we discovered. And think about him. It's like creating evangelists. Like one of the things you talk about that you teach businesses is creating evangelists inside of, from their guests and turning them into people that are doing their marketing. Talk to me about some of those tips. What's that like?
Sure. Well, first of all, you use the term moment of truth, and the definition, there's several definitions of moments of truth, but as it applies to the world of customer service and experience, Jan Carlson from Scandinavian Airlines first came up with this idea that anytime you interact with a customer, you have an opportunity to form an impression. And his exact words were, Anytime the customer comes into contact with any aspect of a business, however remote, they have an opportunity to form an impression.
Yes.
I think it's close to exact. And the idea is you take that interaction and you recognized it. And you, that moment of truth, by the way, according to him, goes good or bad. I say there's a third way. There's also mediocre right in the middle and average. Yeah, right. So bad moments of truth that you might create could be a complaint or a problem. But your customer had a bad moment of truth that had nothing to do with your what happened. And it wasn't it was a bad moment, not even a moment of truth. You saw that the moment of truth was your opportunity that you recognize to make it better. You created what I call a moment of magic. By the way, some moments of truth turn into moments of misery, and some are moments of mediocrity, you know, which to me, mediocrity is the worst because customers don't necessarily complain, but they just never come back. You don't know.
You know, you don't know, but they what they do is they go out and do the opposite of an evangelist. They out and tell people how disappointed they were. And every time a brand goes above and beyond for me or makes a human-to-human connection, I start preaching the good gospel on their behalf. And, you know, I want to talk for a moment while we're together about your book, The Convenience Revolution. You hit the customer loyalty nail on the head. So what drives customer loyalty? Like, it feels like we've touched on some of it, but am I missing core elements of it?
Yep. And by the way, going above and beyond and over the top, every single interaction is impossible to do. Right. So what you try to do is go a little above average, and that could be the tiniest bit. And sometimes it's just the smile. It's the way you talk to somebody, greet them, approach them, something you might say. Just keep that in mind. So you're talking about what drives loyalty and what drives people wanting to do business with you today more than ever. One day, my editor, as we were working on, a couple of books ago, said, why is it that you love certain companies and that you keep talking about them? And I started to think about it. It isn't that they're just good. It's that they're easy to do business with.
Okay.
And to me, convenience becomes the next big play in customer experience. We can be friendly. We can have, deliver in some cases a very special experience, something that feels very customized to them, the customer. But on a process basis, where it's a system, what can we do to deliver an experience that makes people want to come back? And one of the best things to consider is convenience. I believe it's what takes the great experience and makes it greater. And it's the currency of today. People want more time, so reduce the friction. And reducing friction means, well, let me give you the most basic example. Most of us have been in an airport before in the last 10 years, and we've had to go through TSA lines, right? You know, actually almost 20 years now, TSA. And that means we stand in line, we take things out of our briefcases and purses, we take our shoes off, we take our coats off. But for a tiny little bit of money, really not much, and in some cases, the airlines give this to their frequent flyers. You get to go into the TSA pre-line, which moves faster because you don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take anything out of your bag. You just, show them your ID and you put it there and, you go. Well, that's fantastic. That's reducing friction. But then another company comes along, Clear, C-L-E-A-R.
Yes.
They're not in every city, but they're in many, many cities.
But you can tell we're both business travelers.
I know.
That this becomes part of our material.
It's so good because for like $100 or a little less or a little more, depending on what airline program you're on, you can now pay to get in front of everybody in the TSA pre-line. And I used to feel guilty walking in front of these people till I realized, no, they can pay the money too if they want to pay the money and get their biometrics scanned in and answer the questionnaires. And the idea is if you went to the Clear website, not today, but a year ago, and it was on there for quite a while, the tagline, we reduce friction. And any place you can reduce friction in the sales process, in the service process, any part of it for the customer, look for that opportunity and then do so.
Yeah, I love this friction topic because as a marketer, I bring it up on stage. When I'm helping people optimize their path to yes, meaning the path to a conversion or a purchase. Wherever there's friction is where leads leak out. and they go on to another experience. And when we reduce the friction, we get more yeses. And I think the cultural revolution is a legitimate cultural phenomenon that might not be discussed enough. In fact, I'm willing to make the argument that convenience is such a powerful force that the convenience revolution trumped the environmental revolution. And reason I think of this is because just a couple of years ago, we lived in a culture that we loved bringing our reusable bags, and we shamed people for choosing paper or plastic over reusable. But then Amazon came, and now convenience is such a preference that we decided to choose 12 cars bringing 15 non-reusable boxes to our house over one car with a reusable bag because of the power of convenience.
Is that Now I will admit to reusing the boxes. I keep the boxes and I ship my books to clients out
in
Amazon boxes.
But if I go like right out here to our dumpster at the office, it's overflowing with Amazon boxes. It is a different time. Convenience won that one. And I don't know if we've spent enough time as a culture having that conversation, but I think you're right. It's a phenomenon that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, convenience over. So there are people, however, I will say, because I wrote in one of my books called The Amazement Revolution, one of the areas is community. And what I mean by community is some companies find their community, they find their tribe. And for example, cosmetic companies that refuse to do animal testing, even though their price is sometimes more expensive, or maybe the cosmetic isn't quite as strong or good or whatever as another company's, it's amazing the customers they have that will sacrifice for the saving of animal testing, you know, if you will. And I believe there are certain people out there, I know my daughter is one of them, one of my daughters, that will, she'll walk an extra 5 miles if she has to do what she thinks is right by society. You know, she's that kind of person. So there is this small little group, which, by the way, the point I'm making is that we should be aware of that. They aren't the norm, and that's fine. Who's your customer? And then you can decide what you can do. But that doesn't mean you can't be convenient. Reducing friction is just one aspect. Here's a cool one, Todd. The Wall Street Journal did an experiment that, you know, they give you a certain number of articles for free online before they say you have to subscribe, right? So what they learned is they were asking for information. Tell us your name, your email address, where you live, how old you are, some other questions. And they realized every time they eliminated a field of information that the customer had to fill out, they ever so slightly increased the conversion rate. Hence, each one of those fields is a friction point. Even if it seems like unimportant information to the customer, and that really, what do you need? If the customer is, you can get demographic information based on, you know, a zip code. Once you have their credit card number, you know where they live, you know, that kind of thing. So you can get some good demographic information. But if you start asking, you know, are you married? What's your household income? It's like, does that make a difference? And you can get a lot of that information, by the way, in separate surveys. Keep it away from the sales process because you're adding friction where it's not needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you for bringing that up. Here's something I've never asked you, but I've always been curious about.
Why Who does my hair?
Service? Yeah. Yes. Why customer service? Why experience? Like, I mean, if you're going to devote your time to a topic, what is it about those topics that light your fire?
Yeah. So it all started when I was a kid. And my first business, I was 12 years old. I started a magic show business for birthday parties. By the way, I eventually graduated to working in nightclubs. But my mom and dad did not realize that they were teaching me customer service when I was younger. First of all, I was always one of those, I want to make everybody happy kind of kids. So I always said thank you, but my mom and dad said, hey, write a thank you note after that first show you did. My dad said, call and make sure they were happy. Really? Yeah. Call them up next week. Say thanks again. Ask them how they liked the show. Then ask them specifically, what did you like about the show? And then they'll tell you the tricks they liked and get rid of the tricks that they don't talk about. And that's called process improvement. So I had no idea that my parents were teaching me this. So as I grew in my business, And then I went to work in real companies where I was, you know, I worked at a gas station, convenience store. I worked in restaurants and sometimes doing magic, even recognizing, even though I'm the entertainer, if I see an opportunity to make a guest's experience better, I'm going to do it. And it's not my job to do that. It's just, well, actually, it is my job to do that. Right. It's not technically my responsibility. So Disney, and we'll switch to that, says everybody has three jobs when you come to work at Disney. The job you're hired to do, so whether it be take tickets, sweep the floor, work at a desk somewhere, the job you're hired to do, take care of the guests, and keep the park clean. Those are your three.
That's really interesting. You know, I think what we learn to specialize or what we learn to optimize in our life often becomes the topic or the value that we provide to other people. It's like, you know, that advice from your parents is really old world advice. It's like reminding me of my grandmother saying, always send a thank you note. And we live in a world today where thank you notes are from another era, and an email or a text message is sufficient. But every time you go old school and you do the traditional thing, you stand out and you get the result you're looking for. He's customer service and experience expert, Hall of Fame speaker that I've got to see speak on the big stage. He's also a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author, Shep Hyken. Shep, where can people go to find out more and be more amazed by you?
Wow, just go to hyken.com, H-Y-K-E-N.com, and you'll find more than you'll ever want to go. And just like you have a Toddcast, I have a Shepcast. Did you know? Yeah, Shep go TV. To Shepcast.com, and I've got my YouTube video, ShepTube. You should get a Todd Tube.
A Todd Tube, I should, you're right. Shep, always a joy to spend time with you. Thank you for checking in and talking with me about really one of my favorite topics. I think it's obvious for people. When you go to a place, doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, a resort, even a business, an agency like mine, if they don't understand customer service, they really miss the big opportunity to keep their clients in their lives forever. Learn more by going to Shep's website and following him online. Shep, thank you so much for joining me on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Super cool to have Shep on the podcast with me. He's one of those few people that I really look up to and I admire greatly. And I'm just so excited to have Shep come into my life and be able to learn from him along the way and get the opportunity to see somebody who's like a speaking rock star, Hall of Famer, do their thing. And then also how they run their business is really cool for me. Thank you to Shep for joining me on the show. And for all of you, I'll continue to do my job, bring you the latest information in the intersection that we own together, the intersection of marketing, sales, your events, your customer service, the use of video inside of there so you can amplify your business results so you can be a video marketing master. Talk to you soon. Have a great week. Make lots of money, but more than that, serve people, please them, and they'll stay in your life forever. Boom!